this, it reminded me very similar to our world today, of the corruption, the self-centeredness, and the self-serving of many of our leaders. But against this dark and worldly background, we see that God is going to use Micah to not only show the people of Israel their ungrateful and sinful nature towards him, but to also proclaim a message of hope. We see in Micah 5, 2 and 3, Micah tells about a leader, the Messiah, that will establish his kingdom, a kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy. The kingdom that Micah is foretelling about is not some afterlife heaven. Micah is talking about the kingdom of this world for all God's people. Micah tells the people of that time not to just sit idly by and wait until this leader in this kingdom appears, but instead he gives strict instructions to demonstrate the characteristics of that kingdom in what they do each and every day to prepare for its coming. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to share your word and to share what you have for us today, Father. Lord, you are mighty. You are a loving and caring God. Lord, I pray today that as I am used as your instrument, Lord, that you would speak clearly to everyone in this room, that you would be heard, not me, and that my words would be your words, Father. Lord, I pray as we focus on three things that you said that you require from us, Father, that we would take them to heart, and not only just hear them as they tickle our ears, Father, but that they would seep down deep into our heart, and that it would be an active part of what we do on a daily basis, Father. That we would be better ambassadors of you and your kingdom, Lord. And I ask that in Jesus' name today. Amen. All right. So I will tell you this, anybody who really knows me knows I have a tendency to cry. So I'm a tough guy, but I can also cry, so I'm not going to worry about the tears, and neither should you. But if they start flowing, just be like, it's going to be all right. So, all right. So I can kind of go on and forget my points. So I'm used to talking to 500 students, and I really find them a lot easier to talk to than like 100 adults. So I actually picked this Sunday instead of last Sunday, the 18th, because I was like, there might be less people there. It's just that I was speaking at the sports all-nighter, and I wanted to give it all the attention it needed and give this the attention that it needed as well. So my 3 points, I'm just going to give them to you right now, so if you want to write them down, if you're taking notes. Number one, to do justice, we must first be justified in Christ. Number one, to do justice, we must first be justified in Christ Jesus, number two, God's mercy has no expiration date. Amen. Number three, we need to clothe ourselves in humility. We need to clothe ourselves in humility. All right. So my goal today is not to act like someone who's new at this, but someone who's been doing it for a while. And the best way to do that is by being me. So we're just going to kind of jump into this. This whole theme throughout the month of November has been thankfulness, right? And I've heard some really great guys come up here, Mark, Pastor Joe, CW, and there was one more. Brent. Yes, I love that brother. He's good. So I loved his sermon on the Good Samaritan. So I just want to say I'm thankful that God has plainly written out what he requires of us. I'm very thankful for that. And it's spelled out, right? It says to do justice, to love or to love mercy or love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. But I'm also thankful for the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're going to get into this real quick. So we see, just to start from verse 1 in chapter 6 of Micah, we see that in verse 1 through 5, the Lord calls the mountains, the foundations of the earth, as judges, while the Lord states his case against Israel. The Lord reminds the people of Israel of his kindness and how he delivered them from Egypt, slavery, the curses of the kings. In verses 6 and 7, the Lord lets his people know that he is not looking for animal sacrifices and surely not human sacrifices. But when we get to 8, he says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, love kindness or mercy, and walk humbly with your Lord, the Lord your God. So, number one, to do justice, we must first be justified in Christ Jesus. God's kingdom was established by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He called the people to repent, to change their perspective on life, to live in the reality of God's kingdom today. We do this first by experiencing God's justice and mercy in our own lives, and then we go and share that justice and mercy with others, which is our neighbors. And what does the Lord say about that? We heard that with Brent, where he said, love your God with all your heart, strength, and soul, and mind, but love your neighbor as yourself, right? In his life and ministry, Jesus both taught and demonstrated all people we have value. Jesus touched the lepers and healed them. He associated with women and tax collectors. Please, women, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying. And he even welcomed them to be among his followers. Jesus broke down the artificial barriers that religious leaders have created. It reached out to include Gentiles and those who even worship other gods. You see, for Jesus, there was no us and them. There was only we. Amen? I love that about how God said, you know, we are all image bearers of him, of God. And I love that where it says, you know, it wasn't about us and them, but it's really about we, his creation. Jesus' death and resurrection was for all people. The Gospel of John proclaims that in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Always, one of the things that we do at YFC with these verses is we always tell the kids to replace the word world or with their name. So the kids kind of take that and make it personal, that God is speaking to them. I believe that each of us have experienced times in our lives where we felt worthless, or we felt unaccomplished, or we felt lost. This is a transforming experience, not only to read about Jesus, the gift that gave us self-worth, But it also to experience God's affirmation and acceptance personally through Christ Jesus. I'm going to take a drink of water. I promise I'll get you guys out of here enough for the Browns game. To watch them. No, win. Okay. All right. So being a kid from this neighborhood growing up, I used to go to church all the time with my dad. And a lot of times, I always felt like I had to earn my salvation. But it wasn't until I came to a place where God brought me around mature Christians and people who taught me that in a mature faith that you know there's nothing you can do to earn that. But when you understand God's affirmation and acceptance, it's an amazing thing. It helps you with every other interaction or experience that you have, period. We have also experienced those times when we have been excluded from our society. I think of Colin Kaepernick when I hear this part. I don't know where you stand with it, and it's okay. I'm not trying to change anybody's opinion, but I look at this brother and I look at what his process, his progression. He saw a systemic issue within his people group, within society, an injustice, something that was excluding some people from society to have the same rights. And he reacted through emotion, through his experience. And a lot of us do that. That's human nature, right? A lot of us react versus respond. And he decided to sit on the bench to stand for something that he felt was unjust. And it wasn't until a veteran who was trying to seek understanding came alongside him and gave him some wisdom and said, listen, it is okay that you want to stand for those who are facing an unjust system or being treated unjustly. But you have to understand, if you're going to stand for one neighbor, you also need to stand for another. So, being a child of a veteran, my dad and I would talk about this pretty often. It's cool. So we talk about it pretty often because, you know, being a veteran from Vietnam, thank you. I'd ask him, like, what do you think about that? And he said, I fought for those things, those freedoms, and I've had a lot of people die for those freedoms beside me. He's like, you know, the idea that someone came alongside of him and talked to him and gave him wisdom to stand for justice in a way that would respect everyone, instead of the way he was doing it, was good. And I'm not saying that it's perfect by all means, and I'm not even saying that God asked him to do that. I'm saying that it's amazing how God might even take an unbeliever, because I don't know if he's a believer or not, but take an unbeliever and use him to stand for an unjust thing. And how wisdom, when it comes alongside of it, really helps it move to a bigger platform, to the point where Nike was like, hey, let's get him on a commercial because this brother is being excluded because he stood for something. Right or wrong, indifferent, He stood for something. It reminds me of Hamilton, where he's like, in the play Hamilton, he's like, is it Bird Thomas Jefferson, thank you. And he said, I'll go with Thomas Jefferson. At least he has principles and he stands for something, right? But we've all been excluded at some time from our society. That's a good example of that. We've also experienced that being excluded from a friend or from high school cliques or even inner office politics. Like we could be sharing our opinion and all of a sudden, boom, all of a sudden, you're like, why is everyone treating me differently? Could be here at the church. You share your opinion and you're growing and you're trying to figure it out. And some people might not know how to deal with that as well. But the Holy Spirit steps in our lives and supersedes that marginalization and includes us. A good illustration of this is in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says this. My brothers in glory, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made this distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of his kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? It's very simple. Don't show favoritism. Treat people the same. That's one of the things that attracts me to my wife so much when I first met her, is that she would always treat everybody the same. And I'm like, why don't you be a little nice to that person? They're in this position. And she's like, and? And? She was raised to treat people the same, and I admire that about her. She is a great example of someone who is steadfast in treating people equally, no matter what. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God has declared that we are children of God, included in God's family, and nothing can change that truth, period. All around us are both individuals and groups of people who need to hear and experience the kingdom of God, or I should say God's grace and mercy and love. In our world, in our words, in our actions on a daily basis. So we can't just say, hey, I believe this, or hey, yo, I know this to be true, but it needs to be evident in our words and in our actions so that people say, hey, you know, like, why is Mark different? Why is, you know, Jack such a cool cat in the parking lot? Like, he's the same in the parking lot as he is in the church. And I love hearing Rob tell stories when he gets together with the older men. Like, he shared a little bit about Jack where he was just like, man, I learned some stuff about Jack. Man, he's cool. And I was like, all right. So, but in his words and in his actions, it also sets an example for the young men and the young women to say that's something to strive towards, or that's something to work towards. Number two, love mercy. God's mercy has no expiration date. Yes, sir. Mercy. The writer of the book of Lamentation has penned these words very perfectly. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and God's mercy never comes to an end. Just imagine that. That the Lord's love never ceases, and God's mercy never comes to an end. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, right? Mercy and love are linked with God. God has declared his love for us, and nothing will change that. God's decision to love us, God's love for us, was clearly shown in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God also demonstrated his love for us every day through his provision with food, clothing, shelter, our daily bread, you name it, all our needs. He loves us enough to say, guess what? I will provide. My mercy is new every morning, and it's never ending, right? So even though we rebel against God, and this is one of the things that is personal to me, not the rebelling against God, I think that's natural for all of us a little bit, just human nature, but God loves us. Paul writes in his letters to the Romans, but God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, his enemy, Christ died for us. To me, that's a life verse. That's a life verse for me that as a young man, I went to Cincinnati, Ohio, whom we're playing today, by the way, and God met me there as his enemy. And that experience with God radically changed my life to a place where I could show mercy or I could show kindness. See, up to that point, I really didn't like anybody who was not from my neighborhood. I wasn't acting justly, I was acting selfishly, like some of these rulers that we talked about. And it was about me, myself, and I, and how much me and my friends could just have a good time and hang out and do us. And I didn't have any mercy for anyone who didn't look like my neighborhood. To the point where it took years through God's people and certain people that God put in my life to help me work through some of those biases. And we all have biases based on our experiences or by the things that the world has shown us through a lens that isn't of God, but is about self. See, experiencing God's love and mercy are life-changing experiences. Certainly, we are not the same because of our walk with God. I am not the same man I used to be. Amen? Thank you. Amen. I am not the same man I used to be. Sometimes I ask the Lord, am I more jacked up now than I used to be? Because when I first dated my wife, I was like the life of the party, trying to go out, have fun, doing all this. You know, when the kids were little, I was like, okay, Liz, you know, you should go out with your cousin or whatever. See, husbands, let me tell you this. If you can let your wife, especially the young husbands with kids, if you can let your wife take a break, do so. You will be rewarded greatly. All right? That might mean we might see another kid, but that's okay. But here's the thing. I used to say, okay, kids, mom's gone. Everyone invite at least one friend over, and we'll have more kids. And they're like, you're crazy. And I'm like, no, because they preoccupy each other, so it's good, right? So I'm like, the only way I can survive is by creating this atmosphere, which they are already self-managing. So because of that, you know, I used to be this really lucky and the point of that is, I used to be this really free, lucky go kind of guy. And as my responsibilities and as I got older, I kind of tended to, I got a little more, less fun. Less, like boring, yes. Yeah. I started doing ministry and started doing stuff and I was like really fun. And then now when I got up into certain levels of leadership, it's like, all you do is talk about ministry. All you do is do this or do that. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been swinging to the fence to say, Lord, as I walk with you, please help me not to make myself so serious and that it's more serious about you than me, you know? But in the same way as I experience God and you experience God's love and mercy, you can be a life-changing experience for others. Living in love with, rather than in fear of, other individuals or groups can change our lives, their lives, our nation, and our world. Listen, ain't nobody gonna come to faith or see the mercy and love of God if you always complaining. Amen? There's days where I come home and all I do is complain. And my wife looks at me like, brother, you need to go over there and pray and be with Jesus a little bit. And I'm like, yeah. And God kind of has a funny way of reminding you that you need to be that example of mercy and love to other people. Because he put me with someone one day, I'm not going to say who it was, but he put me with someone one day, and I was just hanging with them, and all they did was complain and talk about this is not right, this needs to be fixed, da da da. And the Lord was like, who's that look like? And I was like, you ain't funny, God. You ain't funny. You are not funny. But you right. But you ain't funny. But the truth is that we have to show mercy and love. We have to be that example to other people so that we can help change lives. God has allowed us to be co-laborers with him. He has invited us into his ministry. All right? And we want to change the lives, not just the lives of our neighbor to the left or right of us or in this place or at home, but in this nation and beyond. You know, I always tell everybody, you know, yeah, I'm a missionary in the States, but I'm a missionary who has an international ministry. We're in one of the most diverse neighborhoods in the state of Ohio, and if not the most. And I have the ability to reach the nations. And the last thing they should do is walk into the City Life Center or meet me on the street and say, wow, that guy's, if that's Jesus, ugh. Like, I'll go worship something else, right? So we have to watch ourselves, right? So usually we experience God's love through, again, through small and simple things in life. We sense God's love when we feel his forgiveness after we confess something that is heavy on us, or we know that we've wronged God, or that God has a case against us, and we recognize that, and through his Holy Spirit, we move to repentance, right? In a hug from a friend. I remember I was going to a church down the street, mega church, many, 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 many years ago. And there was a woman there who ran the youth group. And the pastor said, your smile can change someone's day. Your smile. And I was thinking, what? Like, it's just a smile. But it's true. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but if you're walking down the street and a stranger just smiles and says, hey, good morning. Or, hey, how you doing today? Have a good day. Right? It's just like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? More like, what you looking at? You know, it's like, you know, a smile, a hug, right? A brief conversation. Even a conversation with a stranger. I remember we went out to Camp Patmos for a youth camp week. And My wife has had to deal, my kids too, have had to deal with dad walking up to strangers and having these really deep conversations with people he's never met before. And they were like, you gonna do this again? Like, and it was just something refreshing about meeting people and having this conversation of depth to remind them that they're loved, that they have worth, and that the love and the worth that they have comes from a holy God who's created them for his purpose, not for their own. And those conversations would be like, oh, I'm just going to be 10 minutes. And I'm like, bro, it's an hour. Let's go. So, like, we have to watch those things, right? Moderation. We communicate God's love and mercy to others in similar fashions. It may require us to step out of our comfort zone, but small steps can accomplish a great deal. So I would say this, if you are uncomfortable about something, I would say really seek the Lord and ask, God, do you have something for me on the other side of that discomfort? And I would say, have the courage to listen to the Lord and take that step. There might be a blessing there that the adversary is trying to keep from you because he's in your ear. All right, walk humbly. Number three, we need to clothe ourselves in humility. We need to clothe ourselves in humility. See, in the beginning when I shared, we see Micah talking and speaking against the king and the leaders of that time. Again, I'll just refresh us. They were self-centered, self-serving, filled with pride. The leaders used the people and looked after their own welfare. Micah envisioned a different leader. A different type of leader. His leader came from a small town in Bethlehem. He was a servant who walked humbly among his people. That servant's Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, we see Jesus who lived a life of service and love. Jesus died a humble, agonizing death for you and for me. I'm not just speaking this to you, I'm speaking this to me. And I will say this, thank you, Lord, that you first loved us enough that you sent your son to this, as some famous guy that I know says, the outhouse, to proclaim your love for us so that we can be in the penthouse. Jesus choosing not to exercise his godly power and command to have his host of angels fight for him. See, God could have been like, nah, bring him down, let's go. Let's do this. These wretched people. But his love for us, again, and his mercy for us is never ending, right? And so God didn't do that. Such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not experienced in physical power, or the demonstration and control of others, or the insistence to obtain one's desires. It's not that. But in Colossians, we're reminded, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, therefore, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience. I'm not too good with the patience part, but I'm working on it. But he reminds us to do that. That God, those are things that God's saying that we should clothe ourselves on a daily basis to be able to show his love and his mercy so that people may experience his grace. Instead, We clothe ourselves in humility and walk the walk of Jesus as we celebrate that we are children of God. Humility comes as we thankfully receive God's forgiveness and rejoice that God did not turn his back on us. Rejecting selfishness and pride, we live to use our gifts, talents, blessings for others rather than for ourselves. See, we have to be others focused. God was others focused. He was focused on us. And because of that, we are recipients of his grace and co-heirs with Christ. And because of that, we should be others focused. We should say, look at this treasure that I found. Or rather yet, that I couldn't earn, but someone gave freely. That no one could give it, no one can earn it. It's by no one else, but by God alone. And it's not just for me, but it's for you. And to freely run around and tell people, hey, I know grandma's not going to win the lottery, but here's a treasure that will last forever. And I know that in doing so, let me just close with this. See? You guys are going to have me here because I get you out early from now on. All right. Is the conclusion on this is this. Before I do that, let me just say this, that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, citizens of heaven. And when we look at injustice in this world, we should remind ourselves that we represent, we're not just citizens of this country, of this earth here, but we're also citizens of heaven. And we should be interacting as citizens here as a citizen of heaven. And we are in a strange position as of late. And we should really understand that it is better to be just in God's eyes than to be just in man's eyes. I say that with a humble heart and with humility in saying that this. KB is a Christian rapper. I don't know if you listen to him. If you do, shout out to KB. He says, I love my God more than my nation, and I love my neighbor more than his papers. We can work out all the rest. We can work out all the rest. But to do justice, we have to remember that we are a child of God. And because we are a child of God, we are to do justice according to God's will, not towards whatever party you're about or whatever belief that you've been raised or biased or whatever, but solely by what he is asking us to do as children of God, as citizens of heaven. And we are called to show mercy, kindness, and to love well. I like the Message Bible. The Message Bible puts it like this. But he has already made it plain how to live, what to do. What God is looking for in men and women is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Right? I sometimes talk with my peers, and we talk about, man, how good it's going to be to hear that, well done, my good and faithful servant, when we leave this place physically. And sometimes I'm like, what if we don't? I'm like, check your heart, bro. Like, I honestly remember hearing someone say that Billy Graham would be like 2 or 3 times a week he'd, you know, ask the Lord, am I saved? And like really get on his knees and pray to the Lord. And we should always do a heart check and make sure that we are being that well done and good and faithful servant. So let me close with this. Yes, there will come time there will come a time when we see God face to face, and we will behold God's glory in ways that we can never imagine. Until then, acknowledge that the kingdom of God is now. Not then, now, and forever. We live in that kingdom today. Living in God's kingdom, we exhibit the characteristics of the kingdom by doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with the Lord. All this to the glory of God. Amen. Let me pray, and then I'm done. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word and a message from you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you even considered to allow me to be part of that. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Joe and Pastor Mark and the elders here and all the others that serve here, Father. Lord, I pray as we try to live out these requirements, Lord, that we would do that in a way that would glorify you and point others to the cross. Lord, I pray that those that we see come through the door, that they would be not just feel welcome, but accepted, but welcomed into the family here at Scranton Road. And Father, help us to just show grace to one another and to give each other space to be able to seek and ask and walk out things that we're growing in each and every day with one another and with you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word today. Father, thank you for how you're going to use it and the seeds that I don't even know that you've planted today in people's hearts today, Lord. I pray that you would be glorified in all that they say and do this week, the rest of this year, Father, until they come to see you in glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand with us.